The Outsiders, Chapter 3, Part 2, page 43. "It ain't fair," I cried passionately. "It ain't fair that we have all the rough breaks." I didn't know exactly what I meant, but I was thinking about Johnny's father being a drunk and his mother a selfish slob, and Two-Bit's mother being a barmaid to support him and his kid's sister after their father ran out on him, and Dally, wild, cunning Dally, turning into a hoodlum because he'd die if he didn't. And Steve, his hatred for his father coming out in a soft, bitter voice and the violence of his temper. Soda Pop, a dropout so he could get a job and keep me in school. And Derry, getting old before his time, trying to run a family and hold on to two jobs, and never having any fun. While the Socias had so much spare time and money that they jumped us and each other for kicks, and had beer blasts and river bottom parties because they didn't know what else to do. Things were rough all over, all right. All over the east side. It just didn't seem right to me. "I know," Two-Bit said with a good-natured grin. "The chips are always down when it's our turn. But that's the way things are. Like it or lump it." Cherry and Marcia didn't say anything. I guess they didn't know what to say. We had forgotten they were there. Then the blue Mustang was coming down the street again, more slowly. "Well," Cherry said resignedly, "they've spotted us." The Mustang came to a halt beside us, and the two boys in the front seat got out. They were Socias, all right. One had on a white shirt and a Madras ski jacket, and the other a light yellow shirt and a wine-colored sweater. I looked at their clothes and realized for the first time that evening that all I had was a pair of jeans and Soda's old navy sweatshirt with the sleeves cut short. I swallowed. Two-Bit started to tuck in his shirt tail, but stopped himself in time. He just flipped up the collar of his black leather jacket and lit a cigarette. The Socias didn't even seem to see us. "Cherry, Marcia, listen to us," the handsome black-haired Soch with the dark sweater began. Johnny was breathing heavily, and I noticed he was staring at the Socia's hand. He was wearing three heavy rings. I looked quickly at Johnny, an idea dawning on me. I remembered that it was a blue Mustang that had pulled up beside the vacant lot, and that Johnny's face had been cut up by someone wearing rings. The Socia's voice broke into my thoughts. "Just because we got a little drunk last time. Cherry looked mad. "A little? You call reeling and passing out on the streets a little? Bob, I told you, I'm never going out with you while you're drinking, and I mean it. Too many things could happen while you're drunk. It's me or the booze." The other Soch, a tall guy with a semi-beetle haircut, turned to Marcia. "Baby, you know we don't get drunk very often." When she only gave him a cold stare, he got angry. "And even if you are mad at us, that's no reason to go walk in the streets with these bums." Two-Bit took a long drag on his cigarette. Johnny slouched and hooked his thumbs in his pockets, and I stiffened. We can look meaner than anything when we want to. Looking tough comes in handy. Two-Bit put his elbow on Johnny's shoulder. "Who are you calling bums?" "Listen, greasers, we got four more of us in the back seat." "Then pity the back seat," Two-Bit said to the sky. "If you're looking for a fight..." Two-Bit cocked an eyebrow, but it only made him look more cool. "You mean if I'm looking for a good jumping? You outnumber us, so you'll give it to us. Well..." He snatched up an empty bottle, busted off the end, and gave it to me, then reached in his back pocket and flipped out his switchblade. "Try it, pal." "No!" Cherry cried. "Stop it!" She looked at Bob. "We'll ride home with you. Just wait a minute." "Why?" Two-Bit demanded. "We ain't scared of them." Cherry shuddered. "I can't stand fights. I can't stand them." I pulled her to one side. "I couldn't use this," I said, dropping the pop bottle. "I could have never cut anyone." I had to tell her that, because I'd seen her eyes when Two-Bit flicked out his switch. "I know," she said quietly. "But we'd better go with them, Pony Boy. I mean, if I see you in the hall at school or someplace and I don't say hi, well, it's not personal or anything, but..." "I know," I said. We couldn't let our parents see us with you all. You're a nice boy and everything. It's okay, I said, wishing I was dead and buried somewhere, or at least that I had on a decent shirt. We aren't in the same class. Just don't forget that some of us watch the sunset, too. She looked at me quickly. I could fall in love with Dallas Winston, she said. I hope I never see him again, or I will. She left me standing there with my mouth dropped open, and the blue Mustang vroomed off. We walked on home, mostly in silence. I wanted to ask Johnny if those were the same Sochas that had beaten him up, but I didn't mention it. Johnny never talked about it, and we never said anything. Well, those were two good-looking girls if I ever saw any. Two-Bit yawned as we sat down on the curb at the vacant lot. He took a piece of paper out of his pocket and tore it up. What was that? Marsh's number. Probably a phony one, too. I must have been out of my mind to ask for it. I think I'm a little soused. So he had been drinking. Two-Bit was smart. He knew the score. Y'all going home? He asked. Not right now, I said. I wanted to have another smoke and to watch the stars. I had to be in by 12, but I thought I had plenty of time. I don't know why I handed you that busted bottle, Two-Bit said, getting to his feet. You'd never have used it. Maybe I would have, I said. Where are you headed? I'm gonna go play a little snooker and hunt up a poker game. Maybe get rip-roaring drunk. I don't know. See y'all tomorrow. Johnny and I stretched out on our backs and looked at the stars. I was freezing. It was a cold night, and all I had was that sweatshirt. But I could watch stars in sub-zero weather. I saw Johnny's cigarette glowing in the dark and wondered vaguely what it was like inside a burning ember. It's because we're greasers, Johnny said. I knew he was talking about Cherry. We could have hurt her reputation. I reckon, I said, wondering if I ought to tell Johnny what she had said about Dallas. Man, that was a tough car. Mustangs are tough. Big-time Sochas, all right, I said, a nervous bitterness growing inside me. It wasn't fair for the Sochas to have everything. We were as good as they were. It wasn't our fault we were greasers. I couldn't just take it or leave it like Two-Bit, or ignore it and love life anyway like Soda Pop, or harden myself beyond caring like Dally, or actually enjoy it like Tim Shepard. I felt the tension growing inside of me, and I knew something had to happen or I would explode. I can't take much more. Johnny spoke my own feelings. I'll kill myself or something. Don't, I said, sitting up in alarm. You can't kill yourself, Johnny. Well, I won't, but I gotta do something. It seems like there's gotta be some place without greasers or Sochas, but just people. Plain, ordinary people. Out of big towns, I said, lying back down. In the country. In the country. I love the country. I wanted to be out of towns and away from excitement. I only wanted to lie on my back under a tree and read a book or draw a picture and not worry about being jumped or carrying a blade or ending up married to some scatterbrained broad with no sense. The country would be like that, I thought dreamily. I would have a yeller cur dog like I used to, and Soda Pop could get Mickey Mouse back and ride in all the rodeos he wanted to, and Derry would lose that cold, hard look and be like he used to be 8 months ago, before Mom and Dad were killed. Since I was dreaming, I brought Mom and Dad back to life. Mom could bake some more chocolate cakes, and Dad would drive the pickup out early to feed the cattle. He would slap Derry on the back and tell him he was getting to be a man, a regular chip off the block, and they would be as close as they used to be. Maybe Johnny could come and live with us, and the gang could come out on weekends, and maybe Dallas would see that there was some good in the world after all. And Mom would talk to him and make him grin in spite of himself. You've got quite a mom, Dally used to say. She knows the score. She could talk to Dallas and kept him from getting into a lot of trouble. My mother was golden and beautiful. Pony Boy? Johnny was shaking me. Hey, Pony Boy, wake up! I sat up, shivering. The stars had moved. Glory, what time is it? I don't know. I went to sleep too, listening to you rattle on and on. You better get home. I think I'll stay all night out here. Johnny's parents didn't care if he came home or not.
Okay,
I yawned. Gosh, but it was cold. If you get cold or something, come on over to our house. Okay.